Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Night Shadows. Tonight we have kind of an interesting show. We're going to be talking about, I guess one could call it paranormal, and the things that are going on around the world, very different. And we got Larry on board with us. Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Hey, Stuart. Thanks for having me. Hanging in.
Yeah. Why don't we start out with some of the stuff that you have experienced down there? You've felt an earthquake. You saw something very unusual. So let's get into that area first, and that'll lead us into other things as well. So,
well, it was
if you want to elaborate.
Yeah, I was just going to say I had a very interesting night last night, and of course, here in the Oklahoma Mountain Gateway, we've been having storms after storms, and this has been going on for months, you know, nonstop. And I know a lot of people don't really keep up with it, but, you know, we were supposed to have some good weather, you know, the next week, and now I see they've got storms listed all next week, so what's new? But anyway, we've been having terrible thunderstorms. You know, we had them yesterday, we had them last night, and then I was awakened in the night with my bed moving, and you remember I made a trip to Las Vegas one time, you know,
yes,
an investigation I was doing for Quail. And while I was there, the earthquake hit Las Vegas, and all the car horns went off, and I woke up feeling my bed doing the same thing that I woke up early this morning around 2 o'clock with my bed doing here in the gateway. And, of course, you know, when I got up, it was just earthquake after earthquake after earthquake. It's been hitting eastern Oklahoma, northern Oklahoma, northwest Oklahoma. It's been rattling, and I had mentioned to you, and I thought it was kind of interesting, you know, a lot of times they've indicated maybe the Oklahoma earthquakes are a throw off of the New Madrid, or maybe they're a little close to New Madrid, or, you know, it must be the fracking. But, you know, these earthquakes, they're running threes and fours today in Oklahoma, along with the same kind of swarms that are occurring in Yellowstone, and which includes Montana, well, around, epicentered around Lincoln, Montana, but Montana, mm-hmm, Wyoming, and I suppose Idaho. And I'm beginning to wonder if possibly some of the earthquake activity we're having in Oklahoma may be linked somehow to Yellowstone.
Well, I don't think they really – a lot of scientists will tell you that earthquakes and volcanoes – are not related, and I've always disagreed with that. And then Larry Parks came out with his book, and he had some instrument that he had made in which he could detect huge lava or magma, I guess you could call it, movement deep underneath the earth. And in his research, which they kind of finally shut him up, but these lava tubes, magma tubes, I guess extend much further than they have ever thought. And he was detecting the movement up from the Baja, as we reported, and it branches off and goes into the Mammoth Lakes area and Long Valley Caldera, that area, Yellowstone. And we know from, at least if the prophecies are true, which they may be or may not be, but the splitting of the United States appears to me that it would probably zigzag around. And we have the Mid-Continent Rift, which Lake Superior is part of that. and goes down through Minneapolis, St. Paul area and down. And then we have the New Madrid, and there's like a 100-mile, 200-mile space between them. But they keep constantly are finding new areas of earthquake potential. So do they really know, or are they just guessing?
Well, I think, Stuart, that probably the number three, which the question of number three is, would they tell us if they did know? And I assume they do know, but they're not going to tell. We faced that for I don't know how long. As long as you and I have been reporting, Stuart, we've reported on earth changes for years, and we
yes.
find out time after time after time. And the Dayos verify it generally sooner or later with us that USGS, you know, includes volcanoes and deep ground movement, magma movement, and the earthquakes, et cetera, that we're not being told the truth. We're not being told the real story. And of course, I suppose this late in the game, we shouldn't expect it. But what's interesting, too, was last night when I was awakened by the quake, you know, after the thunderstorms had occurred, you know, I went outside, and what was odd was it was overcast, except below the overcast was I saw a line of very strange and anomalous lights. They were. It looked like you could have taken a ruler against a black background and drew all these lights in a very straight line, and that's what it appeared to be. And it was massive. I mean, whatever these lights were attached to, if they were attached to something and not individual, it was big. I mean, really, really big. And I got my binoculars out because I couldn't tell what kind of lights they were. And when I looked at them, they looked like stars, except they all exhibited, I guess you could say, yellow and blue and green colors. And they changed colors. And very bizarre. You know, I didn't even try to take pictures because people don't care anymore. If you put a picture up, it's a smudge or it's a reflection. So I decided not to even bug anybody with that, and I just looked them with my binoculars with my own eyes and made my decision, and I laid the binoculars down and went back to bed. That's how I operate now. I don't try to convince anybody of anything because I believe we're beyond convincing anymore. And, you know, most people that are in denial, you know, they're on a steady dose of denial tea. And you're not going to change their mind anyway. It's physically impossible, and I think you and I have come to acknowledge that we don't expect the American people to wake up, so there's no use to bother them.
Well, yeah. I think that people are in deep denial simply because it's very frightening. They're fearful, and so the easiest way to get around it is unbelief and denial of what's going on. So what's interesting to me about this whole UFO phenomenon is that the Bible is very clear about what's really going on. I produced a video a long time ago. I think you got a copy of it. It's called UFO Gateway to Hell.
Yeah.
And I brought that up on the Art Bell Show many years ago. It's a long video. It's 7 hours and 20 minutes, I think. And in there, we proved what these UFOs are. And because of highly advanced technology, the problem is now we don't know if it's ours or theirs. So you really don't know. I'll bring up a story that I got involved with, actually quite by accident. I was flying for the Northern Pacific Railway, and they were based out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. And many times we'd go either to Seattle or possibly down towards L.A. and then fly back. And one night when I was flying with this naval commander, he was writing his first officer at the time. I was the captain. And here we are sitting up there about 39,000 feet coming eastbound towards Minneapolis. And all of a sudden, he says, "Stuart, I got something I got to tell you." And I said, "Yeah, go ahead, Ed. What's on your mind?" And he started to relate this story. Now, this guy was known for his truthfulness, his directness, had no reason whatever to be making up stories. And he had flown the heavies, the Orion, and before that he flew the Constellations that the Navy had. And he began to relate this story of being at an air base down in Southwest somewhere, and about an arrival. And it was a huge mothership, he said, that appeared, slowed up, descended to the tarmac, I guess you want to call it. And government officials, military officials, got out of their vehicles and climbed on board. And they were there, he said, for about 4 or 5 hours. Then they disembarked, got in their cars, left, and then the UFO mothership just vanished into the heavens. And he said, "This is all real. Every bit of this is real." And he couldn't emphasize enough the reality of the collusion, I would say. He didn't use those words, but I would, that the collusion between the United States government, and I would assume Russia and other governments around the world, are deeply involved in this alien arrival situation that we're going to soon see. And probably around that 9:23 mark, give or take, we're going to see some major heavenly operations going on, and a strong delusion that's involved with it in Thessalonians. And it's about an arrival. So when you say people don't believe it, yeah, they don't. And in my flying career, I saw a number of things that were unexplainable. And we even had in the Jepson flight manuals a whole section on reporting UFOs, along with another section when the military comes up and dances on your wingtip, what you better do about it. That is, if you want to live. So anybody that's really been around and up there, they know what's going on. At least they know that this stuff is real. And people are, I don't know, Larry, whether they're going to wake up to this or whether the arrival has to take place. Speaking about that, I got an email from someone and said, "Stuart, and you as well, please speak more about the deception that you and Larry were discussing on a program." That's that strong delusion. You find it in 2 Thessalonians, where it talks about a strong delusion being cast down, and it's about an arrival. The same arrival you'll find in, guess what, Revelation chapter 12. That's about an arrival. All you got to do is scroll down on chapter 12 and you'll see it. How Satan was cast out. That's an arrival. And his angels were cast out with him. That is an arrival. And this is what we face. It's a strong delusion. I would almost call it a wonder. The same word that is used in Thessalonians, where Satan comes down with all lying signs and wonders. Now, you've seen a number of UFOs up in that area. I even have a picture some fellow that you know took of a UFO in some sort of a clearing, but he took it through the trees because he said he didn't. What's that story? Could you relate that? That's kind of an interesting story.
Sure, that's really interesting. A guy that I met that worked for the water department over in Arkansas, and he was you know, he'd come by and read the meters, and I got to know him a little bit. And then one day something was out beyond his house. He said it got real hot around his house, abnormally hot, and he could feel something. It was really weird, you know, it was like a very strange feeling. And he saw something alight down in amongst his trees there behind his house, so he got his camera. And of course, you had this guy on, you know. We interviewed him.
Yes.
But he walked down to this craft. It was a circular craft. You've got the image yourself. And it has what appears to be windows in it, and it's lit up. And he said the closer he walked to the craft away from the house, it was like time itself was slowing down. And he got it within a distance there by the trees, and he said he just couldn't go any further, and he wasn't even sure that, he said it seemed like it was a long time between the time he got down there and took the picture and he got back to the house, which would indicate to me that maybe there was some missing time that he wasn't aware of.
Yes.
I didn't bring it up, but you know, we know a lot of that does occur. And you know, I've put a number of photographs, and I've sent you photographs of what I've seen up here in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And the most anomalous-looking craft, some of them look like Star Wars stuff. Some of them look like, you know, and of course, some of these are by themselves. Some are two or three of them together. Then there is also the situation where military, what appears to be warplanes, are either escorting or following or monitoring or observing these craft. I've had numerous situations of that. So to me, you know, none of this will be sudden to me. This, you know, it's ironic. You know, it's just like the people of God, you know, that wouldn't listen to their Creator. You know, I guess the fall of Jerusalem and Israel was sudden. They seem to think it was sudden, but I think it's just like today. None of this is sudden to you and I. And as a matter of fact, I was going to bring something up, Stuart. I don't
Yes.
know about you, but it's like I've been literally lately waiting for something. I don't know what it is. I don't have a clue what it is. I don't know if it's spiritual. I don't know if it's natural. I don't know if it's combination. I don't know whether the paranormal activity is involved, but it's like I'm waiting. You know, I can sit in the house sometimes and praying or thinking, and it's like I'm waiting on something. And I get, reports from other people that it's like they seem to be waiting on an event of some kind, and we don't know what that event is. Now, I have to say, 9/23 seems to be a very incredible event, occasion, and happenstance. And I do know you've got some new information on that 9/23 date and some of the information surrounding it.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that 9/23 number is jumping up everywhere and coming from the most unusual places. And it's just great how people are really digging into this thing and they're finding all kinds of things. So this was sent to me, and it's very, very interesting, talking about 9/23, which I'd like to get into maybe a little bit later. Verse, we're in the year 5777. There's a reason why 577 is that and not like 6,000 or whatever. It's the way they count the years. First number, 5777 in the Bible, it's very, very interesting now, is from Deuteronomy 32:18. You neglected the rock who begot you and forgot the God who gave you birth. Isn't that interesting? It's about a
wow.
birth. Deuteronomy 32:18 is code. Guess what it is? 9:23. You just reverse
wow.
it. 1 plus 8 is 9, and 2 and 3 is 23. Now, that can't be a coincidence. Everything now is beginning to point to 9/23. And I can't tell people whether that's the rapture of the church or the bride. I can't tell people exactly what it is, but it definitely being pinpointed by the Lord, who I believe is probably pounding us over the head with 2x4s to get us to wake up to what's really going on, because we have had so many come and go where we thought things lined up, and they never did. But this is very, very a special sign in the heavens. One of the things I've learned is through science is that Virgo, the main sign involved, has always had a crown of 12 stars. It's not right over her head, but it's right beside it. It's a 12-star sign. So they're right in one, the gainsayers are right in one part of it, that particular sign has been there and has always been there. Now, what's interesting is, in the Old Testament, what we have, 12 elders. What do we got? Now we have an overlay with Leo, which is 9 stars, and the 3 planets, all in an absolute line, just as they are supposed to be, which I believe is an overlay with another 12. What do we got for the New Testament? 12 elders. So if you read chapter 4, what does it say? Basically, come up hither. What does he find? 24 elders. So,
wow.
There are so many things that are leading into this thing. And I would remind people, particularly the gainsayers, and I'd like to get into that maybe a little later, if we can, got time. But the gainsayers, each one of their arguments you can demolish pretty easy, particularly if you know your Bible. And we've got just a lot of proof text that this could well be the pivot into 2018 and Israel being taken up by the Lord, because the church age is over. If you go into Revelation 2 and 3, you got 7 letters to the 7 churches. And what's interesting about that is in chapter 4, we have that come up hither, and the church is no longer mentioned at all, ever again. So there's a lot to this. And the Lord said in chapter 4, now I'm going to show you the things that are to occur hereafter. Well, hereafter what? The church age. So I think we have ample proof that there is a very good possibility that this is going to be the end game, and that we are actually entering into Daniel's 70th week, which ties right back to the UFO activity and the arrival. Remember, Stan did all that work on the arrival and what Daniel actually had to say. He went back into the ancient languages. Yeah, this is an arrival, and it's not going to be pleasant. And these people are going to simulate the rod of iron, and it's going to be a hybrid human-alien government. It's just too bad that our leaders are so apostate that they don't know what's actually happening to them. What do you think?
Yeah, that brings back memories of the Twilight Zone movie, To Serve Man. I never forget that, I suppose. But you know, one of the things I was thinking about was, we're not telling anybody that something's going to happen on 9/23 other than the sign. I mean, that's what we're telling people, is a sign that's going to occur. Of course, Stan Dale says it's the greatest sign ever, and I have to agree with him. What I do say is the fact that that doesn't particularly have to mean anything that day. I think the signs basically can biblically be linked with seasons more so than moments. And
yes.
Even as,
well, a season
you know,
is an appoint Yeah, go ahead, Larry. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Go ahead and clarify that.
Well, a sign is a sign in the cosmos, and, of course, we've got the sign of Israel on Earth, and we've got all kinds of signs going on Earth that correspond and confirm the cosmic signs. And the main cosmic sign is, of course, this one that occurs on September 23rd. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, that's not Rosh Hashanah. The trumpets starts on the 21st, ends on the 22nd, and then we have the 923 sign. They're right. It actually is in the Hebrew calendar 2018 at that point. But here's something that we have forgotten about, and what's interesting, and I'm going to read something else here I got from someone. It's, to you and I. I have listened to you for years, especially recently with updates along with Larry. I really enjoy those. My question is in regards to the handshake between Obama and the Pope. You mentioned that on every episode now, but I'm unclear as to its meaning. He said the handshake was on September 15th, but it wasn't. It was actually on September 23rd at 9:23 in the morning. So we have, they are pointing out 9:23. You remember all the movies, all the cartoons, all of that stuff on YouTube pointing to 9:23, 2015. And I am convinced myself that the kings and the rulers of this world were positive they were bringing in their new world order. And now we come to that sandstorm in Israel that very few people are talking about, but it's probably the most important divine hand sign that we've had. That sandstorm delayed in truth the trumpets for 2 days. Now, the apostates in Israel, secular Israel, ignored all that, and they've celebrated their trumpets on the date of their calendar. The Orthodox Jews, they knew that they could not celebrate trumpets until the sighting of the new moon, which was 2 days late because of this very unique sandstorm. 2 days, 2 years, and everything points to 2017-9-23. And I find that incredible. And just one more, how do we say, 2x4 over the head to get back to that handshake. That was on purpose at 9:23 and 9:23 in the morning. And then they went to the UN to bring in what they thought was Agenda 21/30/50, the UN takeover of the world. But it's been delayed. And in that two-year delay, guess who shows up? Donald Trump. What do you think?
Well, I think you're hitting on something there. And what's ironic, I was thinking, as I was watching the reports today on the news, how the meat grinder in Washington, D.C., the Capitol, and also in America, was waiting for Trump to come back from France so they can grind him down some more. The grind was already in process, in America. And I got to thinking, because some of the research back into this Russian that Donald Trump Jr. was set up to meet has now pivoted and taken itself back to the false dossier and all of that from England and the Democratic
Yep.
Party and Hillary and all of this, they actually went back to the night that Donald literally won the election. And I saw so many of them in the Democratic Party in shock. And you know what they said? They kept over and over and over saying, it wasn't supposed to be this way. It wasn't supposed to happen like this. This wasn't supposed to happen. It wasn't supposed to be this way. And you know what? It almost brought me back to the memory. Remember where, you know, the same people, years ago, probably said the same thing when they discovered Mary and the Begats. It wasn't supposed to be this way. But I have to say, Stuart, possibly the same one that created Mary and the Begats, against all learned knowledge at the time, also created a Donald Trump, Cyrus the Persian King similitude in our 2016 election, and it wasn't supposed to be this way.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I don't think people realize who the Lord really is. They say they believe in the Lord. I don't believe they do. And the reason I say they don't is because if they really believed what the Bible had to say, there wouldn't be all this religious confusion. Another name for Babylon the Great, religious confusion. I've never seen so many confused people, and it's getting worse day by day.
Oh, my.
And the spirit of Antichrist is rising up all over the place, just as the Lord said it would. So I guess the American people don't want America to be healed, so she's not going to be.
Well, one of the
what
things, Stuart, that I was, yeah, one of the things I was thinking about as you was talking earlier also about the signs and the times. You know, you and I, for a number of years ago, maybe 10 years ago, you know, we would talk and remark about people that would stand up and declare, and I'm talking about ministers and prophetic people, et cetera, and they would declare that it was an end of the age and a new one had started, that the Gentile age was completely over, the church age was done, it was over, we're now in the kingdom age, the millennium, et cetera, et cetera, except we didn't see that. Now, you and I have shared many times how we really believe that there is an overlap, and that's easy provable, because Jesus literally walked inside that overlap between the age of law as it was chiming out and the age of grace that was chiming in. But however, that we do reach a point, which I believe we're about to reach now, and you made a very interesting question to me. You said, could it possibly be the 923 sign is literally the end, the final end of the overlap of the church age and the beginning of the kingdom or the millennium? And because we do know and we recognize that between law and grace, there came a day, a literal day on the earth when the law was no longer in effect, period. I mean, you could just say period. It wasn't anymore. And I'm wondering, Stuart, could we be looking at a time, even though people prophesied 10 years ago that the church age was over, are we about to see possibly a declaration in the heavens that says it really is over, period, and we begin to walk in a new place or under a new directive, so to speak, from heaven?
I think so. I think the age of grace is going to close down. All the signs are pointing to it. The promises made to the Christian is a heavenly promise. I go to prepare a place for you, and then I'll come back and get you and take you to the Father's house. That's a heavenly promise. That's a removal from planet Earth. Israel, on the other hand, has earthly promises, Abrahamic and Davidic promises. So if you go in and look at what those are, it appears to me that it ties directly to Daniel's 70th week. And there are gainsayers coming out all over. I watched one where Acts couldn't possibly be true. Then another one was Revelation can't possibly be true. And I've heard people say that Peter was an imposter, Paul was an imposter, and they start tearing the Bible apart. And I guess my comment to all people who really believe that, you're making a big mistake. What else can you say? Because if you can tear the Bible apart, then it becomes an individual thing as to what one's going to believe and what one isn't. And there's just mass confusion out there. And Babylon, you know. So here we are, coming up on what appears to be the very possibility, a very good possibility, that the age of grace is over. It's closing, and then we're going to go back to law. And you can prove it because Paul makes the comment that you can give your life for the faith, but if you have not charity, which is another word for divine agape, love, a special type of love, if you have not that, then it profits you nothing to put your head in a guillotine or die for the faith. But then all of a sudden you get into Revelation, and they can put their head in the guillotine, and it's counted as the same thing as during the age of grace. So I think that proves we move from grace to kind of a works law situation. And it's not going to be fun. I mean, I hope really in several ways that people wake up to the fact that there really is coming an end. I mean, the Lord makes it very, very clear that, you know, he tarries, he waits, he gives extensions, but then there is a cutoff. Boom. You know, it's kind of like what you were doing as a police officer. There is a cutoff. You know, you may extend some grace to somebody you know is a lawbreaker, but then you finally lower the boom. That's it. You've done enough. And the Lord does have a tremendous amount of patience, but I think, as you and I have said, we would have hit the delete button probably some time ago. What do you think?
Well, I think that's true. And to chime in a little bit with some interesting data about you talking about an arrival or some type of situation, you know, we've got all of the type. Now, I haven't looked at the bots. I'm not aware if there's any new bot activity going on, but the Tor codes have kind of got secret all of a sudden. We're not hearing much about 2018 at all, or 5778 rather. But what's interesting to go along with this, and let me read you a couple of articles here, or dissertation of sorts, and get your opinion, because we're going to look more into it. But recently, Barry Rothman did a really intriguing Torah code called Warning Sent from the Future. Now, of course, at that time, you know, Barry posted it, and then I posted it on my blog. And a short time after I posted it, I suppose, on my blog, we had talked about it, and you got a copy of the original data.
Yes.
You know, I mean, he began to get whammed from Kazakhstan, and I can't think of anything in Kazakhstan that would be interested in his data, but if you remember, the Russian space program is out of Kazakhstan. And China was all over him, and I guess some Russians. And, you know, anyway, Barry got to looking, what I heard from him, he got to looking at the data that was released in those Torah codes. And he began to be concerned because he said, some of this data could be in the wrong hands, something that someone could use. And it makes me wonder if it's not like I'm releasing plans, Barry said, like the nuclear bomb and how to build it. And so anyway, he redacted what he did. He redacted his AI, artificial intelligence article, Warning from the Future. And he wanted to know, he says, is the redacted AI article Warning from the Future, or just U.S. intel about some Rothman articles and pushing the envelope or some sensitive issues, ? Now, to chime along with that, Stuart, you know, and of course what Barry was talking about was, you know, could be linked into an arrival situation, but Skywatch TV also put a new one out called Is Teleportation Possible? And they report quantum satellite does what we never thought it could. And it says, especially after scientists have now teleported information between Earth and space using the quantum information. And, of course, we're aware of the warnings of the quantum computers, et cetera, that look like the black things in 2001 Space Odyssey, because there are some saying that these quantum computers can operate multidimensionally. What do you think?
Well, it's kind of interesting on the teleportation issue, because when I was flying for the General Electric Company, a lot of times we'd have the scientists that worked for GE's come up and sit in a jump seat because they didn't want to be back there with the rest of the passengers, whatever. But anyway, they'd start talking. And, you know, if you have big ears and you just listen, maybe ask a few innocent questions, you learn an awful lot about what's really going on. And for some reason, we got into this thing way back. Now, this is back in the 60s, about teleportation. And the scientist who was writing at the time, can't remember his name, said, oh, we've already done that. We've already done it. So if he was telling the truth, which, how do you vet it? But if he was telling the truth, how many years since then have they had to develop a teleportation, beam-me-up, Scotty kind of a device? Now,
wow.
This is very interesting, because you remember when there was an insider who claimed that Obama had been seen on Mars? Remember that?
Yes, I do. Yes, absolutely.
And it got to the point where the White House issued a statement that Obama had never been to Mars? No.
Yes.
Why would the White House issue a statement that he had never been to Mars, which would appear to be absolutely the most ridiculous concept you could come up with, unless he had been there? And they're trying to squash it.
Yeah, what's interesting too, Stuart, is the fact, I know you hadn't watched it, but there's an old movie with The Rock, you know, Dwayne, I can't remember his last name. Anyway, he's a wrestler called The Rock. Years ago, he played in it, and I wondered where they got the scenario, because the name of the DVD or the movie was Doom, E-O-O-M, Doom, that's the title. And in that movie, they clearly, and I don't know where they got the scenario, but they had teleportation devices from the Earth to Mars. And in this movie, of course, on Mars, they were researching ancient civilizations they had found on Mars underground, and the host that had lived there. And but there was clearly teleportation from Earth to Mars. Now, you would think about Obama. The White House would basically, you would think, when a question came up like that, come out and say, well, that's the stupidest thing we ever heard of. But the denial says a lot.
It's the way they worded it that it made you think, oh, okay. So this is a common practice. They've already figured out how to do it. Teleportation of Beam Me Up Scotty was probably already in effect to a degree. Then we had the movie Stargate that came out that was very, very popular, of going through this device. And it's essentially a teleportation device. What it does, I guess, from what I gather from people who've talked about it, you are taken apart molecule by molecule. And then
demolecularized or whatever.
Yeah, and you hopefully on the other side come back the way you should. Like, remember the movie The Fly?
Yeah, The Fly is in the pie.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess there are some dangers to it. But that was years ago when that scientist, he insisted it was true, that they'd already done it. And it was, they had teleported a mouse. And it had been successful. We have no idea of the technology that's out there. I can remember driving on I-94, and I looked up into the sky, and I saw this gigantic silver cigar-shaped object. off to my left, but way up in the sky. And the only reason I saw it is the sun reflected off it. It was changing a little bit. At first, I thought it was an airplane, but it wasn't. And it was just kind of hanging there. And then up front, there was another one. And they were huge, and they were way, way up in the atmosphere. And I thought, well, I must be seeing things, but there they were. And they were sighted by about 500 other people in the state of Wisconsin. And I believe what we were seeing was some things you've seen that are tubular in shape. They're even addressed in the UFO recovery manual as to, they're cylinders. And I had a school bus driver that I knew very well, and it came right over the school bus at a very low altitude, and all the children saw it. But Dr. Peter Beter claimed that these were Russian cosmospheres. That what had happened was this, when they went into Germany and they found all this anti-gravity material, that they sort of divided it up. Russia got parts of it, we got parts of it, and I think Japan got parts of it. And so what are we looking at? Are we looking at alien devices? Are we looking at human-made devices? Like Stephen Greer of the Disclosure Project claims there's really not any way to tell, no, what you're actually looking at because of the high technology we have. And Stan has, he worked on that sort of thing.
Yeah, and what's interesting also, and we didn't realize it, was Stan, you know, years ago, before he ever came from Australia back to America, you know, he was telling me then about experiments that he had observed underground and time experiments about, going into the future or going into the past, and they were working with time experiments. Also talked about the anti-gravity that was already in progress, and this is years ago, and also about teleportation that they were working with it then. One of the places some of the German stuff went, I think, is to Australia, because the U.S. built a massive base underground there, and that's really where a lot of the underground secret stuff is today even. And, of course, now we found out from Stan about underground secret stuff of the Fallen Ones in Saudi Arabia, of all places. And, by the way, you'll be getting this DVD shortly, Holocaust of Giants, where they literally come out. A lot of the shamans, Native American shamans, have been used by the Smithsonian and others that keep all of this technology secret. They know, according to Horn and Quayle, and I do believe it's on the video clearly, where the shamans literally revealed that what they're using present day in their journeys is ancient technology that's underground. They say that this is that where a lot of people think shamans are using wormholes or portals that just like a little something in the air, in other words, a little location. What they actually are using is secret, ancient, possibly pre-deluge technology that they have found and are able to activate. And this has been going on. The Black Projects have been using this for years, and they tie in our war against Iraq and where we went in underground in Iraq and removed a lot of stuff.
Well, I think that's, I can't remember his name, but he's over, I think, in England or somewhere, and he writes about exopolitics, but I can't remember his name, but he wrote about how we went into Iraq and beelined right for the old ziggurat and looking for high technology. So, and you remember the book because you turned me onto it, Evil Fire Made to Burn. That's basically was a search for high technology and how all these portals or areas of strange writings are now guarded by military all over the world. So they're trying to hide a lot of stuff, and that brings us to the strong delusion. Strong delusion is to convince the world that Satan is God the Father, I guess. You know, I mean, you know, it's interesting that Stan has mentioned several times that these projects that they were working on had to be approved by Satan.
Yeah.
There's a hierarchy, and of course, Satan is the prince and power of the air. So I found that really interesting. So a lot of this technology is being made, as he said, basically, is to fight Jesus Christ when he comes back to take over planet Earth. So Armageddon is going to be fought with high-tech weapons.
Yeah. What's interesting also, Stuart, the other day I had to make a trip through Heavener, and I looked again at that. You remember I told you they had went down in a coal mine about 2 miles and found a wall in cities underground. And,
yes.
Then they covered it up and flooded it, and someone was breaking into it again. They actually built a building over it, and I know where that's at, and I've been watching, and that building today has satellite dishes on top of it. It's a secret enclosed building. They have police checks on it. They have video all around it. You can't get up to it. But what's interesting, Tom Mack recently has been doing some interviews with Omega Man and others on something that I had brought up years ago called Ancient Evil. You remember that, don't you?
Yes. Oh, yes.
And anyway, he sent me an email the other day and said he was running some new what he called Bible codes on Ancient Evil, trying to get some data together for some more radio shows, and he says he cannot extricate every single time out of those new matrices that he's running with Ancient Evil. He cannot get Heavener to stay out of it, that Heavener is continually there. So there is something here, very mysterious, and it's ironic, Stuart. Like your opinion on this. We cannot seem to get people to run Torah codes on two different words, number one, Heavener, or number two, Antarctica.
Yeah, and why are the rabbis over there so silent about 2018?
Yeah.
They must have found something they really don't want released just yet, or maybe not ever, and it may have something to do with the removal or the great vanishing, as people would call it. I mean, there does have to be a cutoff. There's a lot of gainsayers out there. Let me just read part of this. Well, of the gainsayers. Number one, the sign has shown up many times before and is not unique in any way. That's falsehood. It is extremely unique, and you can prove it through Stellarium. Similar, but not accurate. They're similar, but they're not totally accurate. Okay, number two, there are no signs. You break in anywhere you want. There are no signs for the church because Jesus Christ can come back at any moment for his people. Well, that's easily disproved because the Bible in Acts says that Jesus cannot return until the restitution. Well, the restitution is Daniel's 70th week. That's what we're probably coming up on. There are other remarks that Jesus made which totally destroy the fact that Jesus can come back for the corporate church just any time. Obviously, he can come back for a believer at any time. Number three, no man knows the day or the hour of the return, so therefore all cosmic signs are worthless and cannot be used to determine when Christ will return. Book of Revelation says Jesus said, look, if you're watching, you'll know and you'll understand. If you're not watching, it's going to come as the thief in the night. And there are many other verses like that. Even Paul made mention of the fact that if you're watching, you'll know. Otherwise, why would anybody be given signs? Signs and seasons are for the people to know when these things are happening. Number four, the church is not to speculate on any return date because it's dangerous and destroys the doctrine of immanence. And doctrine of immanence that has been around in the church for years and years and years, totally false doctrine, but you have to get into the Bible to do it. But anyway, you take a look at what these people are saying, the gainsayers, and you can demolish everything they say very easily, which tends to confirm that this 923 sign is, in fact, very, very special, and a wonder. And I often wonder if the another part of this wonder will be the arrival, because Thessalonians uses that word of lying signs and wonders on the return of Satan with his fallen angels. And you remember the Blue Beam Project? So,
yeah,
what do you think?
Absolutely. Well, what's interesting is the fact also, you know, in the Holocaust of Giants, you know, they get into the fact of the reports of the resurrection or the reanimation, so to speak, of these giants. You know, they use Moldeshev and Klaus Dohna. Of course, we related that years ago. I mean, years ago we actually related that information.
Yes.
And they all seem to claim that there is an awakening that's going to come to these Nephilim giants, and, you know, they're going to begin to move about. And, of course, they just killed one secretly in Afghanistan. That data is out there. That's not hidden. L.A. Marzulli and Richard Shaw gave a lot of that data and that information. But what's interesting, Stuart, is the fact that, you know, matter of fact, I posted the image of the ancient apocalypse of Ezra, or second Ezra, that I've been reading, and in that, and I read it on the last show, it talks about a type of a removal and a bringing back and a resurrection, different events that are going to begin to occur. And, of course, we haven't even, I know we're going to run out of time, but we haven't even mentioned the destroyer and its entourage, but that certainly could be linked into the time frame or the sign in the heavens that's coming up 923 possibly.
Yeah, and it's what's interesting is they've already found the destroyer that Google Earth or whatever they call it is trying to block it out, but they didn't block it out soon enough, and some people got pictures of it, which appear to me to be extremely authentic, and guess where it is? Right where Jupiter's going to be given birth. So the man-child.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I find interesting, Stuart? I don't know if you saw my blog today, but I had a space weather and NOAA image. It's an image of the great red spot on the planet Jupiter taken by NASA's Juno spacecraft. It's really an incredible image. And so why now suddenly do they have Juno spacecraft setting off Jupiter? What is it watching for about this time in the heavens?
Yeah. Well, I think they're correct when they say that Jupiter will be struck by this entourage that's inbound. And, you know, it's a fairly large system of comets, asteroids, space debris, as well as planets, even if they're smaller. So what we're watching here, and we've had a great uptick in meteorites and that sort of thing. And I think this is just going to continue. The sun is getting very anomalous, and the UV ratings, by the way, are climbing rapidly. And there are warnings out there about staying in the sun. Watch it, because the UVs have actually changed slightly, and they really burn your skin if you sit out there in the sun any length of time. So for those sunbathers out there, stay out of the sun. Anything you want to close with? We got a minute.
Yeah, I was just going to say that Space Weather's reporting there was a solar flare off the sun today, and it should arrive around Earth on the July the 16th. So people need to be prepared for that.
Wow. Well, Dr. Doom and the kill shot should be coming up, and maybe that's another thing that's going to occur. Maybe that's another wonder in the heavens. You know, the sun is supposed to actually, mini nova, become seven times brighter in Isaiah and the moon becomes as bright as the sun, I don't think we can imagine what that would be like. So, anyway, folks, if you haven't prepared, well, it's a little late, but do what you can. And thanks a lot, Larry, for coming on board. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you again next week.